All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, March 2nd of 2026. Looking ahead here, we have a four-game NBA main slate, a five-game NHL main slate, and then we had League of Legends action earlier this morning. So, should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Can't say enough good things about the Discord, but with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, so you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right, with that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up on the screen here. Have a couple questions in the queue today. I do want to mention this. We haven't had the questions on the screen in a couple days. We did hear you guys' feedback about that, and we have figured out a way to get questions back on the screen here. So really excited about re-adding that with some of the changes that we're making to the stream setup here. So appreciate you guys' flexibility and feedback all the way around. As far as questions go today, let's get our first question up on the screen. And the first question of the day says, would you recommend setting a min Saber score post-build filter? I always set one for ROI, but wasn't sure about Saber score. Also, if I set it to zero, is that a good baseline? Thank you. Okay, good question. So I actually do like the idea of setting a minimum Saber score post-build. Reminder that Saber score is an ROI. It is an ROI of a contest that we have created behind the scenes here. So what we're doing is when we're solving Saber score, we're running what we call a simple contest sim. It is a kind of basic payout structure GPP contest that technically doesn't exist in the lobby, but captures like the ordinary size and type of GPPs you're going to see in the lobby. So when we run that, the Saber scores that are generated are an ROI. So even though it doesn't show as a percentage. So if you see a Saber score of 72.5, that is equivalent to 72.5%. And we can run and build and look at this actually. So we'll make two adjustments here to unlock the build lineups button, and then we'll kick off a build. So like when the lineups run and then you see that calculating after, that is actually that simple contest sim running for the Saber score. So that's what you see there in that graphic. And that one should appear shortly here because we're just about done with these lineups. All right. And this one. So this is effectively running that Saber score contest sim, okay? And then we get into the post build, right? We'll let these lineups load up. We'll let the portfolio diversifier run. The portfolio diversifier is using Saber score to solve the portfolio. Portfolio plus uses ROI, so reminder. And then we can see the average Saber score, right? It's like what this average Saber score is saying is that, hey, you know, there are 20 lineups and the average Saber score ROI effectively is 121.56%. So given that this is an ROI, I think it's okay to do exactly what you said and to come in here and set up a pool filter that says show lineups with Saber score greater than zero. That's where I would start. I wouldn't go higher. You know, some people ask like, oh, well, what about like 25% or something like that? Me personally, I'm comfortable playing any Saber score lineup that is positive. That also makes sure I maintain a decent pool size in case I want to make any adjustments as far as the min and max exposures go, or I want to do just anything specific in the post build. You know, the bigger the pool, the better there. So, would I recommend one? Yes. I think zero is a good baseline? Also, yes. I think you're on the right track here with the way you were thinking about it even before asking the question. But definitely good one to get us started. All right. Got another question here in the YouTube chat. So let's get this one up on the screen. All right. Question says, question, depending on what contest you're playing, is it smart to use the ownership less than greater than filter, or do you just let the Sims cook since it takes all that into account? Appreciate you. Yeah, no problem. Okay, so kind of similar thread here. Whether it is the Saber score sim or the actual contest sims from the contest tab, if you're on Ultimate. So when we run the contest sims, right, what we do is we take your lineups in batches of user entries. So let's say you're playing a 20 max. Well, we will randomly take 20 lineups out of your pool at a time and put those in the contest sim and see how they do. For contest sim 2, we take a new 20 lineups, and then 3, we take a new. Lineups can be reused. It's random every single time. But when you run the contest sim 100,000 times, all of the lineups get used multiple times. So it kind of smooths that out. So that's how we're taking lineups and simming them, right? Well, the lineups that your lineups that we are simming against, right? We are putting them into this contest with other lineups. Those lineups are the field lineups, right? So, like, let's go look at some field lineups. So we're going to the contest tab. I'm going to open up one of these field lineup sources. Okay, and we go over to projections. Okay, so notice here, right? The projected own is on Flagship MME, and the exposure is equal to the ownership here, right? That's because the exposure from the field lineup builds become the ownership projections, okay? So that's why these two are equal here. So you're 20 lineups at a time are going into a contest with these field lineups, and the ownership is effectively being taken into account in the contest sim because the exposure is the ownership. Like when we're simming this, right, we're taking, say you're playing a big contest, you're playing a 20,000 entry contest. Okay, well, the field lineups have 10,000 lineups. So we take your 20, we add them to the 10,000. We sim the contest as if it has 10,020 entries, okay? When your contest is smaller, say your contest has 5,000 entries, we randomly take 5,000 from the field lineups, or we actually will take 4,980, and then we take your 20 and we put that together to equal 5,000, okay? The ownership is still being taken into account. So you're right in the sense that the contest sims or the Saber score calculation are taking into account ownership. That is the point I wanted to make here and just kind of explain how the ownership is being taken into account. So yes, you're right on that part. For those of who have been around Saber sim for a long time, whether that be consecutive or, in different sprints, we used to have an ownership fade slider that was taken into account in the lineup creation. Well, what we realized is that we were double counting ownership, right? We were taking it into account in the build settings, And then we were taking it into account again in the lineup grading, and it was effectively leading to lineups that were fading ownership kind of too much because we were taxing it twice, right? So we moved away from the pre-built slider and we moved straight into just accounting for it one time in the lineup grading aspect here, right? So now moving over to filters, you know, I don't think ownership filters are as needed, like you were kind of alluding to, because the sim is taking into account the ownership when it's grading the lineups, right? So, you know, I think there are old DFS heuristics that would say, hey, you know, lineups with this much ownership win more often, right? And, you know, you want to avoid lineups within like this ownership band or things like that. I don't think you should, you know, set filters to try and find those bands, right? I think SaberSim is going to tell you dynamically which lineups are viable and which are not. And when I say dynamically, I mean, you know, people would say, hey, you know, NFL GPP, right? You want to do this. It's like, well, what if, you know, there's 12 games? What if there's 8 games? You know, how does that kind of change, right? And these heuristics were not good at taking those different kind of aspects into account, but the contest sim can. It's like, well, you know, on a smaller slate where the ownership is maybe more concentrated, you know, lineups of this level can be more viable. And then on bigger slates, you know, this can be more viable, right? So it adapts for the number of games on the slate. And then I think the second thing that I've personally learned from using Flashback and studying lineups is that there's not just like one archetype of a lineup that can win, right? And this is like a graphic I've done before, but I think this one holds true, is I've seen lineups of different types grayed out similarly in the post-contest sim. So sometimes we do this with dupes, sometimes we do this with projection and ownership, which I'm going to do here. So I've noticed that it is okay to play low projected lineups, but those lineups have to have low ownership too. So if you're going to play low projected, make sure it's also low owned. If you play low projected and it's high owned, this is bad. Like a lineup over here is not good. You don't want to play something like this. You can play higher owned lineups, sure, but it has to be high projected. If it's not high projected, if it falls somewhere over here, this is a bad lineup. So like any lineup along the line is typically, we'll say positive sim ROI. The lineups get into negative sim ROI territory when you kind of go the opposite direction of the line. So that's what you want to try and avoid based on what I've seen in Flashback. So here, right, you know, like, hey, we could play higher ownership. We just need to understand what we need out of our projection in order to do so. So just some food for thought there. I think you're definitely thinking about it the right way. And actually got a follow-up here. Get this on the screen. Follow-up, thank you for the explanations. Sometimes I overthink and I don't want my lineups being too chalky in these GPPs. Sometimes I'll see ownership percent over 300 and start freaking out. Yeah, just keep in mind, right? I think the only time the alarms should be going off is when your lineups are being heavily duplicated, right? If you play a high ownership lineup and it is still, you know, not played by anyone else, I don't think you have anything to worry about, right? In fact, it's probably a good lineup because, you know, players don't get ownership for no reason, right? They're usually a good play in terms of like point per dollar value, or, you know, maybe they're starting and they usually come off the bench, or, you know, they're making somebody's hurt, or something like that, right? You know, I think projections in DFS in 2026 are generally good, right? A lot better than, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. So ownership tends to be a little bit more correct. And I just think that you need to focus on, hey, are my lineups unique? And if your lineups aren't, if your lineups are duped 10 times, 20 times, then I would kind of start to freak out, like you said. And I would be like, okay, I need to do something to kind of combat this. And then we can start talking about ways to mitigate duplication. But it's not so prominent on some of these classic slates. You know, if you're playing like NBA or NHL right now, and mostly playing like the classic slates, I don't think you're going to see a ton of that. So keep in mind, duplication is like the biggest thing you want to be aware of in terms of like alarm bells going off. All right. Next question from Chuck here. Let's get this one up. Looks like a two-parter. All right, first part. I banked three straight League of Legends slates in a row and took second in NBA 2 days ago. The game sims project allowed me to pick up on patterns I did not notice before, which made me a better player. And then second part. A better player in all sports. There are so many moving parts in DFS, but I think I actually found out which metrics matter most when maximizing bink chances. Congratulations. Yeah, it is definitely a good thing to, it is good to create an approach that can be used across multiple sports, right? And I think that's something you allude to here. And that is what like the Sabre system tries to lay out, you know? We kind of moved away from like this sport specific content, and we moved toward these videos that are meant to give you a process that not only works for NBA, that not only works for NFL, but can be used across all of these different sports and with some slight adaptations, right? So I think that that is one of the strongest things that you can do, is create an approach that works all over the place, right? So I definitely think that is a good point and a good nugget there. Okay. Another question. Speaking of being duped, do you have to take home 1,000 to be winner circle eligible? I binked the contest but was duped 2 times, reducing my take-home prize from 2K to around 916. So for the winner's circle, it is the take home prize. If it wasn't, we would have a lot more $1 million winners when it comes to like NFL showdown, right? If somebody wins a showdown and the prize to first is $1 million, but it is duped 20 times, right? Okay, they still win $50,000. That's great. But we cannot obviously award the $1 million prizes to them because the prize was first. So it is the take home at the end of the day. Yes. But sounds like you are super close to that 1K prize, and I have a good feeling you're going to hit it sooner rather than later. All right. So far, so good here. Next question, and let me get this one up. Okay, first part, when I look at old slates like on tennis, how can I get the individual player ownerships? So if we go back to a past, well, really any slate, but we'll look at tennis. Okay, so we go to tennis, we'll look at a slate. Okay, so it looks like there was some tennis over the weekend. So let's go back to the weekend. Okay, a couple follow-ups here. So we're going back to tennis to talk about this. I'm going to read this question. Okay, I noticed the flagship MME ownerships are still off when comparing to downloaded contest CSVs from DraftKings. The problem is those contest CSVs are only available for 10 days from DK. I can't get the exact ownerships for slates like a month ago. Okay, so we don't have the actual ownerships on the player table because tennis is not a late swap sport. So for late swap sports, what happens at each game lock time, we download the contests and then we update the fields based on actual player ownership, right? So if Dardery came in at 70% owned instead of 60%, we would update that in the live field and then we would rerun the ownership for the matches that hadn't started. Since tennis locks all at the same time, we don't run any live fields. We do show the actual ownership in the contest tab. So if I go to the contest tab and let's say I click on the line painter and then I go to projections, I can see the actual ownership here. So, and then I can compare to projected own, right? Hey, Dardery, we projected for 59.7. The actual ownership was 41.5. So you can see it here. However, you cannot download it. So you would just have to visually access it. You know, you could probably go into each slate, take a screenshot of, you know, the name of like this section and probably like drop it in ChatGPT and just say, hey, you know, put this in a Excel file for me and create a file that I can use. That would probably be the best way to do that, that I know of, because this contest page projection table is not downloadable. All right, but I think we found a viable workaround in the meantime. Cool, so we got questions back up on the screen for office hours. Knocked out some questions here with regards to Saber Score, ownership, winner's circle, tennis, so kind of hitting multiple sports, which is always great. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.